Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Happy New Year. Happy 2021. And welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. So we're going to get started because we want to just dive right into 2021 and, get going and just kind of do something a little just upbeat and just, you know, whatever today. So, you know, and the best person I have to do that with is our CEO of Never Had It So Good Entertainment, the mighty, mighty Princess Cooper. Good morning, Princess. How are you?
Hey, G's Power Hour. Gretchen, how are you? It's 2021. We made it through, Gretchen.
Thank you, Lord.
We made it through. We were not a part in the number of the 352,000, and our prayers go out to each and every one of those families. My heart goes out. I've stopped watching those numbers because it really just upsets me. But we, you and I, the network, we made it to 2021, and we're expecting great things from each other and from the network in 2021.
Definitely. And from everybody else. I mean, I think in spite of what happened in 2020, I think there were lessons to be learned to make the not just 2021, but just the future in general a little bit better if we just don't lose sight of the lessons. That's, I was talking to Reggie, my husband, the other day, and I was telling him, I said, you know, seems to me, and there's maybe a couple of decades missing or something, but it seems to me that about every 20 years, something has to happen to kind of put us in check, to make us do some retrospection, you know, to, and I just started with my particular lifetime. And I was just telling him, like, you know, in the 60s, we had the assassination of JFK. We had the civil rights movement in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And then I told him, I said, I can't really put my finger on what may have happened in the 80s. But if you skip over to the early 2000s, 2001, we had 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's now, actually been 20 years. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been 20 years. So, you know, just about. And so now, you know, 2020 and, you know, and into 2021, we've got the whole new thing to kind of say, you know, that helps us, like, pull the reins back a little bit and stop galloping so fast toward whatever. And, you know, maybe we just need that sometime, but, man, it's just when it comes, it comes hard. You know,
well,
because also last year we
came
hard. George Floyd and stuff like that too. So yeah.
You
so
know,
when it comes
I still look
hard.
Back on this and say, I think, and 45 was a test for all of us and was a push to see who we are as people, see who we are in our hearts as people. That's what 45 is, because 45 made it okay to be ugly and belligerent. I mean, let's just be honest with that. And the pandemic, I think, was to show how unprepared we were, and there was a playbook and so many things in place. I read the article and so many other things about how Barack Obama and Vice President Joe Biden left a pandemic book and left a pandemic theme, left, you know, a whole department, and it was gutted in acts by 45. So, and I don't think there was ever going to be, you know, the honest answer from 45 about the pandemic, and that's where we are now. But this is a 352,000 people's mistake here. And maybe that was
counting.
And maybe and counting 1,000 so far today, 1,065 the last time I saw it today. And we can continue to talk on and on and on. And I don't want to make this a Donald Trump show, because I really want to talk about where we were and where we would like to be in our focus on 2021. But yeah, every so often, you're right, this happens every 10 years, every 20 years. There is something that jolts our spirit as Americans and forced us to rally around each other. 9/11 was one of those times. I think, you know, here in 2020 was one of those times, too. And we got to see a lot of things. We got to understand the heart of people. I still say that. Whether that's good or bad, no matter if you're a Democratic or Republican, and I try not to align myself with either, but I do align myself with people I think that have the same values as I do, the same goals and morals as I do on certain topics. But this has been a tough 2020 was a tough year. It was a tough year to watch. It was a tough year to live in. It was not a year that you could fellowship or create fellowship, you know, cook something and have people come over and try to help them with their situation or their problems, or cook something and have people come over just to lift your spirits or congregate and have a good time. That was not 2020 for sure. And, you know, congratulations to our young people for bringing attention to so many different things against as far as police brutality. But you're correct. I agree with you. And I know you said it before, that something happens every so often in our era to jolt our who we are and get us to recognize and refocus and to make a difference, get involved.
Right. Well, to get us out of our comfort zone. And for some people, and this is the test. The test is, when you are jolted out of your comfort zone, what do you do? How do you handle it? Are you know, what are you made of? And I think that's the thing. What really are you made of? One of the things that you said, and yeah, I don't want to dwell on him either, but 45 enabled, and I said that before even the pandemic. 45 enabled people to be their baser self. To be their worst self, to not have to compromise, you know, if they don't want to, that they can do whatever they want and get away with it. And that's just not the way it's supposed to be. If you're an adult, okay, this is the period of time where I think a lot of people lost sight of what being an adult means, okay? Because being an adult doesn't always mean that you can do what you want, when you want, how you want, why you want, any old time. It does not mean that. You have that option. But being an adult means, what choice do you make? Do you make the choice to just, you know, be inconsiderate? Do you make the choice to be self? Do you make the choice to be narcissistic? You know, being an adult is about choices. And so the thing is that we have someone that, you know, kind of tested the, you know, what people are really about. And unfortunately, there's a lot of ugliness came out. And a lot of weakness came out. And I say weakness because then you got somebody that, you know, it's like, you know, I mean, I'm not, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that the pandemic wasn't bad, because it's horrible. But the thing about it is that, my goodness gracious, I've got to wear a mask that takes away my freedom. What? I'm sorry. No, it just means that you have to be inconvenienced for a minute. okay? Because if you care about someone else, this is just an inconvenience. It's not taking anything away. In fact, you should be showing your giving spirit by wearing a mask in order to protect others. But we've gotten to the point that we are so selfish in our thinking that we don't think of other people first. We think of ourselves. Now, there's good, some good and bad about it because, like, for example, when you know how they say on the plane, you're supposed, and I haven't been on a plane in God knows how long, but you put the oxygen mask on yourself before you put it on somebody else. But the thing about it is, okay, even if you're thinking like that, putting an oxygen mask on yourself, people weren't doing it because of, I don't know what freedom they thought was going to be taken away because they couldn't show the rest of their face. Okay. I'm sorry.
People liken putting on the mask to slavery. I saw so many people say that on national television. Being forced to wear a mask is like slavery. Are you really being serious, people? Are you really being serious?
This comes from people that really have no clue what slavery was about or is
None.
About.
None.
Because we
None.
Have to remember also, too, we say was. There's some slavery that's still existing now. It's called human trafficking.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know,
and this
got
is Human Trafficking Month, everyone. This is Human Trafficking National Month awareness. So, you know, be alert. Be aware. You know, I had my pastor to tell a story that he was at Lizard Thicket, which is like a S&S cafeteria. It's cafeteria food. Morrison's, maybe. And the girl wrote help on the window because the guy got out and went in to get to something else, and she was being trafficked. And she just wrote help on a window as the pastor was going in to get some food. He noticed that and wouldn't let it go. So he went to the back of his trunk and just tried to pretend like he was doing something. And she wrote help again and then wiped it out the window. And he called the police and they got there in time as the guy was walking out with food for the both of them.
Okay, good. Good.
He was 18 years old and that man was 50 something and he was selling her to from South Carolina to Charlotte. He was taking her to Charlotte. She had already been bought, purchased, you know. But I want to get back to something you said. So this is National Trafficking Awareness Month, and I'm not saying be alert this month only. Be alert every month. And it's sad. It's sad if some young child or some young woman, some young man is being stolen away and being forced to do things that they don't want to be in trafficking. That is wrong. But I wanted to go back and say 45 has emboldened the nasty part of our nation to be more nasty. He's emboldened that. I've seen so many people now. You know, I was in Publix the other day, and an older gentleman, he had to be in his, you know, late 60s, early 70s, something like that. He was Caucasian, and the manager was standing at the door. He was welcoming people. He was one of the managers. I know him very well. Whenever I go in there, sometimes I have on gator stuff, and he always gives me a gator chomp. I was born in Gainesville, he always says that. But the older man didn't have on a mask. He said, sir, you must go back and get a mask. He said, you must be a Democrat. And from there, the situation got worse and worse and worse. But the man went back eventually after yelling and carrying on about his president was Donald Trump and he was and everybody that wears a mask is a Democrat. He went out in that car and got a mask and came on back in there and shopped. Now, I wanted to call him a Democrat, but see, I have a line that I won't cross. You don't do ugly for ugly. Just hopefully maybe he can think about that. But there's a certain part of society that has been emboldened to be uglier. You know, the internet caused some of that. You can say a whole lot of stuff. Don't even have a profile picture. You can come in and say what you want and leave and go on about your business. But and that's what this this era has done. I want civility back. I want kind. 72 million people, no, 74 million, voted for ugliness, as far as I'm concerned, because they weighed the option. I'd rather have an ugly Republican than a nice Democrat. Or I'd rather have lower taxes and ugliness, because at least my bank account won't go down. At least I won't be taxed. People weighed that option, and 74 million said, I believe we want this president back. When you think about that, how powerful is that?
A lot of people, though, also, they voted in fear. They voted in fear.
Yeah.
Because the vice president to be is a woman. So there's some men that voted in fear because they didn't want a woman in that, you know, in that position, especially with their sentiment out there that thinks that Biden is not long for that office. After inauguration. And then there's the fear of having another black person in a position of power. There are some people that say, you got to let some of that stuff go. And it's like, I would love to. Don't get me wrong. I would love to wake up and not have to think about it. But people keep reminding me. So I have to be watchful, because people keep reminding me by their actions, by their words, you know. But now let's talk about, if it's one lesson that you had to take away from 2020 and apply it, it was something that really changed your life, what was it?
It would have to be letting go of people I love. And I'm talking about letting them go as far as my connection with them, people I grew up with, people I admired, people that were my classmates in high school, my classmates in college, a little bit in college, because I went to Spelman, but then I came back to the University of Florida and got my master's. But I had to learn the art of letting go of people and not listening to how their defense of this president, or their defense of where we were as a United States, or defense of how ugly this got. I had to let people go. That was my biggest lesson. And, you know, one night Don Lemon said it best. He said, I have people I dearly care about in life that I've let go our relationship for a while because I could not convince them of the cult that 45 brings. And I'm not just saying that it was just 45, but people really, like I said, over the past 4 years, people got emboldened to say and do a whole lot of ugly stuff, and that was not necessary. I don't ever think that that's necessary. Now, do I get upset? Yeah. You can just ask Reverend Robinson. He knows, but I try not to cross the line. And when I saw people do that just for no reason, and I did a lot of it in 2020. Kamala, what was it? Joe and the hoe? That one really got me. Joe Biden and the hoe. That one really got me. You know, that one really offended me, because I was so happy to see a woman become, you know, be a part of the ticket. And for me, it was extra special because she was, you know, part African-American or woman of color, but she didn't really have to be. I just wanted to see a woman in that position. She didn't have to be for me to say that, you know, I was going to be proud. But my lesson learned was to let go of things that I could not change, nor was it my responsibility to change. And people's minds and their moral compass is not my duty. If they disagree with my heart and how my overall existence was, let that go and move on. And that was a huge and big lesson for me in 2020.
See, I had already kind of, you know, I'm praying for people, but some things I've kind of already dismissed, because I had to not get the politics so much involved. I had to look at the people that, even though I didn't really have a lot of people close to me, and I'm still finding out about some people that had COVID, that, you know, just survived and everything. But I just had to look at if I was emboldened in any kind of way, it was because I felt like I needed to be emboldened about my faith. Okay. I needed, you know, if I'm going to speak out, and I don't want to speak the ugliness, but I want to be enabled to speak the truth. That's the thing that I wanted to be to do. The other thing too, it's a work in progress, but I need to be less selfish and need a commitment. And there could have been some point in time last year that my husband could have been gone, and so I have to learn to be more appreciative of him. But my other thing, too, is, like, one of the things, and it happened, like, late in the year, I had to go for a medical procedure, and I met this girl, and she was 26, and she had had COVID. And I don't know why. It just bothered me. But she was a nurse, and working at one of the hospitals, she had to quit her job at the hospital, and the environment where she was working, where I did my procedure, was safer. She ended up getting COVID because someone in an emergency room started lashing out, became violent. They needed to restrain this person, and she and three other nurses or something like that were a part of restraining this person. There were other people, but four nurses got COVID, and she's 26 years old. She got the worst of it. She still, and this happened earlier last year, this was December where I had my procedures, she still is having trouble breathing. She's 26, and I'm like, it bothered me. It just really did. I'm like, you messed up this girl's life.
Yep.
How did you do that? She's trying to help you. You know, she's there.
People don't
care. Everybody else, and you messed her up, possibly for the rest of her life. And that's when I said, you know, when I'm talking about people being selfish and narcissistic and unthinking, and I'm not excluding myself, because I know there's some things that in just trying in my, I guess, efforts for self-preservation, I know I've probably let some of the wayside, and I need to look back at some things myself. But that's one of the things is that. And I already felt when 9/11 came, I already felt like I was still doing this work in terms of trying to, you know, be closer to God and learn more and everything. I got more of a sense of urgency about it last year, and not necessarily because I thought something was going to happen to me, but I just felt like sometimes I feel like God's being lost. You know, there is more of when you're talking about a run on, and I think I mentioned this last year, when people are doing a run on toilet paper and paper towels, and people also doing a run on guns. Was there a run on Bibles?
Oh, yeah.
Was there a run on Bibles? That's what I want to know. And were people just grabbing them, or were people actually reading them? Were people just ingesting what they read, or were they sharing it? Because it just seemed to me that there was just, I didn't hear a whole lot about people coming to the faith. I would have liked to have heard more about that, and I didn't. And I'm not saying that it didn't happen, but just so much other stuff was being vocalized, so much of the ugly stuff. I really would have liked to have seen more about people coming to the faith or people staying with the faith. Or sharing the faith. And that's the thing that just made me, I guess, stressed me out a little bit. And I wanted to see more of.
Yeah, I'm sure I can say that there was probably a bigger increase in gun purchases than there were in Bible purchases. I'm positive
and
of that, you know.
That really saddens and horrifies me. It does.
But that's the world we definitely live in, right now, and especially as we went through the summer, I still see here so many people that are not the same as I am as far as my color. I hear so many of them say, you know, there were so many riots this summer and so many people burning buildings and so mm-hmm. many protests, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's that, you know, that kind of mm-hmm. nice way of saying, you know, your people are, okay, people don't really understand. When you see people that look like you that are being shot in the back or being, you know, not detained like other people, it really upsets you. And mm-hmm. it upsets you. Now, I think people disregarding God is a bigger upset, and you can see that happening too. There was so many, it's like, where is your faith? Where is your Christianity? Mm-hmm. Where is your kindness? Where is your heart? Where is just mm-hmm. your love for humanity? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't. You exactly. really got to be out there, to. And I thought that I had a clutch your pearls moment when 45 came down the steps and said Mexicans are rapists and thieves. I thought that was my clutch your pearls moment. Just look how many we've had that have exceeded that. Since mm-hmm. 2016 and 17, we've had a run here that we needed to get out of. And I'm happy that 80 million plus people said enough is enough. We at least have to get a moral compass. We at least have mm-hmm. to come back to civility. And if that mm-hmm. civility looks like an 80-year-old and an African-American woman who's 55, 56 years old with Indian descent, then that's what I'm glad that 80 million plus said that.
Mm-hmm.
I really am. And mm-hmm. and let's see what happens. But I hear you, though. And I've never thought about that. So now you've made me think. It saddens me to say that there were more guns purchased than Bibles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and that's a shame, isn't it?
And it is. It's awful. And the thing that you were talking about in terms of how people treat each other, well, I mean, that begins with having that moral compass. That begins with, you know, having a Bible as more than a dust collector and a paperweight, you know, or something to appease someone else, because I think a lot of people get them to appease other people. Because they think it makes them look good to have one. I mean, they showed the picture of the day of the president clearing the streets and going out and standing up there with that Bible. And I was like, really? And what for? What was that supposed to do? How was that supposed to make me feel? I don't get it. Didn't get it then. Still don't get it when they showed it again. But, you know, my thing is that, where's the people that are, you know, the people that are speaking out about, you know, anti-mask and pro-gun and all this kind of stuff? Where's the pro-Bible people? Where are the pro-Jesus people? Where are they? You know, we have gotten to a point everybody is mute or they're just, like I said, there's a fear from some people to just say, hey, you know, this is not right. God don't like this. And I think also, too, and I know I'm making some folks mad, but there's the reason some people aren't speaking out. There's some people that are supposed to be speaking out that aren't speaking out because their own house is not in order. And so they won't speak because they don't want to be called. They don't want attention called to their situation. Now, see, the fact of the matter is, so all of us are not perfect. So, you know, if you said that you were called to spread the word of God and lead his people and be, you know, a shepherd here, then do it. And not just Sunday morning, you know.
Yeah.
Not just when it's convenient, not just when it feels good, and not just when you get paid to do it. If this is your calling, you know, if this is your calling, you're supposed to be so lit on fire that you can't contain yourself, and this is your mission. This is your purpose, you know. And to me, for me, it's not just also about
the spreading the word of God. It's also about your actions. It's about taking care of the gifts of God. And the gifts of God are his people, and the gifts of God are about this earth, you know, and, you know, people either tease people about being tree huggers and everything like that. But no, you know, one of the things, and I live in the area where the space program is very important, and it's cool. It's all, you know, yay, you know, it's nice to see the pretty rocket go off and everything. Okay, but I'm not trying to go to Mars. You know, that's not on my agenda. My agenda is trying to take care of what God gave us. God gave us this. He gave us Mars to look at. If he wanted us to live on Mars, it would be ready for us to live on. We wouldn't need any special equipment to live on Mars. You know, we wouldn't need anything. God gave us this right here, and we need to learn how to protect it, and we need to learn how to not abuse it. And same with people. We need to learn how to protect and not abuse people. I see people that treat animals better than people.
Yeah.
And I know it's hard. It's hard to treat people nice. Okay.
Hmm.
So it's not, we're not saying it's easy, but it's what you're supposed to do.
Hmm. You know, as my doctor said the other day, I was having this aha moment with him just to check up. And I finally said, okay, Dr. Baker, how old are you? I have a new doctor. He's been with me now about a year, maybe two.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I just turned 30. I said, well, young man, make sure to live your life to the fullest. You know,
mm-hmm.
recognize every moment. I said, I'm in my 50s. I said, as a matter of fact, I'm on the other side of 55. And, you know, he said, and we started this because he said to me, in this new walk that you have now with high blood pressure, and he wants me to understand it, make sure that you remove all negative people, negative
mm-hmm.
things, and negative places. He said, even if those places and people and things are in the middle of your family, remove them from your life.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them you can't come, you won't go, and you won't be a part of it if
mm-hmm.
that is all it is. And that is so powerful, and I've heard that before. It isn't the
mm-hmm.
first time. But
mm-hmm.
if I would like to live a long, healthy life past where I am now,
mm-hmm.
these are some things that you have to do for self-care. And that was
yes.
so powerful to me. And I told him, I said, that is powerful considering you're only 30. I said, now I know you probably have seen a lot. But you're only 30. And I said, and you've been in school more than you've been out of school
mm-hmm.
at this point in your life. But that was powerful, and that is so true. Reggie, in what we have to do. And even if it means it's just you and Reggie, sometimes over these holidays, it's just been me and John. And it has been so peaceful. It has been so just nice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to sometimes fuss at Rev because he's always wanting me to bake a cake, bake a cheesecake, bake. We need something sweet. No, we don't.
No, we don't.
you know, but I can have that little minor argument with him. But
mm-hmm.
remove negative people, things, and places.
Yes.
Don't go
yes.
to them. Don't do them. And that also means removing the consistent, because I'm usually work for home 3 days out of the week. The other 2 days I'm visiting clients. And, of course, that's kind of dulled down a little bit because of COVID, and I do a lot of Zoom meetings more than anything else. I'm always on Zoom, sharing a screen, showing them. And sometimes that is so much better. But I've been happy to remove a lot of the fluff that was not necessary. That
mm-hmm.
was not necessary. And one of the last things he said is that don't pressure yourself. And I think you and I maybe have talked about this a little bit. Don't pressure yourself about what you see on social media. 90% of what people post on social media is to try to impress somebody else, and that's not real either.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so true.
Yeah. I mean... This is where this is your fault, okay? And you know it is. But anyway,
No, I mean, because I was talking to someone, and you know, I probably was talking to Reggie, and I said, you know, I said, I'm not on social media as much as you think I'm on social media, or as much as people think I'm on social media. I mean, not at all. I said, you know, I'm kind of old fashioned. I'd rather, you know, talk your ear off with a phone call or something like that, or something. But you know, my thing is, it's like I got on Facebook because of the show, and you know this. I was never on Facebook before, ever. And I don't stay on Facebook. And every now and then I'll do, if I think it's something, like I told them, I do it if it's something relevant to my job, and not just this, you know, show, but real estate or something else that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something relevant to that, or if it's something that I really feel like that needs to be shared or whatever. But, I mean, other than that, it's like to me between 11:30 and 12:30 on Facebook.
Listeners, she begrudgingly created a Facebook. She may have had LinkedIn, I'm not sure, but she's definitely honed in on it now. But listeners, she begrudgingly, you know, she tried to talk me out of it, herself out of it, but no,
oh,
in order
goodness.
To promote, and
to
now
promote
you
and
get on,
uh-huh.
You get on, you promote, and you get off. You don't
feel, off.
I wonder who's posting and all that. Who cares?
And,
you know,
and people like, and I told them, I said, the only other time I was really on it was, we were having our family reunion, and that's the way they were distributing information.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Okay. You know, and to, like I said, to make myself relevant, I'll post stuff, you know, about different topics, you know, real estate
mm-hmm.
and other things. I said, but, you know, the whole chatty thing, I'm barely on. You know, people will say, well, then you might, you know, well, I'll have to go look for it.
And I'm going to pause right there and tell you something. You know, because I am a social media, that's what I do. I manage social media for clients. Many
mm-hmm.
of them, I manage their website. But I
mm-hmm.
have had more requests this year, and I haven't had any females, and I can't divulge the males, but I've had more males to secure my services to remove stuff that they posted or email or message to someone
mm.
other than their husband, their wife, or their main girlfriend. I've had
mm-hmm.
more requests. Hey, can you? I was inboxing this lady at 3 a.m. We were on all night, but my wife kind of saw some. I need to delete it. I can archive it, but it's there forever, sir.
Wow.
Well, how much do you charge? Well, this is what I charge. Well, go ahead. I'll cash app you now, but do what you can do and hurry up because, so you know, I cannot let her look at my phone. I've had more of that this year than, and people have the response just like you do. But because of the pandemic, more people have been working from home. And when they finish, they have more time on their hands. And if you were, immoral before pandemic, then this pandemic has given you more time at home to be bored and do other things. And I've had more men to request my services to delete or remove stuff playing with other people that they shouldn't be playing with. And come to find out, I'd say that 90% of the people they were playing with had a fake profile. They weren't even real themselves. They were putting up, you know, somebody else's picture.
I don't understand because.
And I'm talking about men in their 60s and 70s.
See, you know, when I first got on Facebook, and it doesn't happen to me as much now. I used to get these obscene pictures.
Yeah.
And I don't get it as much now because I started blocking and I started reporting them and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing is, I get off because I got other stuff to do. My house is a mess. So, you know, I've got to, you know, try to catch up with housework. The garden is back in disarray. I've got to go and take care of the garden, and, you know, because I'm insisting upon making that a priority. You know, I mean, I got clients to call. And then, you know, when my husband and I are home, you know, we're, you know, trying to, you know, did you see this? Did you see that? And this gets me to one of my other subjects. I had heard on Good Morning America about, you know, Bridgerton. I don't know if you have heard about Bridgerton, but it was interesting.
Mm-mm.
It's and I know you don't watch a lot of TV, so I mean you probably
no.
I know you don't know about it. But it's one of the somebody said it's a cross between was it Downton Abbey and Pretty Little Liars or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's one of those period pieces when you know, the corsets were popular and all that kind of stuff. But the
mm-hmm.
cast is multicultural, which makes it really interesting and not multicultural in the sense that all of the black people are, you know, are serving. These are black people in royalty as well as white people in royalty. And so I heard about it on Good Morning America, and they had interviewed two main cast members, a young black man and a young white lady. And I watched, I turned them on to it because we both kind of did get into Downton Abbey a little bit toward the end.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started watching it. And he said to me the other day when we were driving, and that's one of the interesting things, he's been off most of December. It was actually pretty good. He went back to work today, and I actually kind of, when I got home this morning from running my errands, I kind of missed him being here.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, you miss me? I said, maybe. So, gotta keep it real. But anyway, so he was saying, I understand after watching a show like that and watching, he said Game of Thrones or something like that. He said, I understand why women are so angry a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So like because of they show just different predicaments that women are in, whether it's of their own making or it's a forced thing, and you know, and the male can kind of go about his business of every day, and the woman is continually trying to salvage her reputation or trying to salvage just her life, you know.
Yep.
As she knows it. I just wanted to talk about that because it was, like I said, it was just something I had not even planned on watching. And then when I saw the interview on Good Morning America, I decided to sit down and watch it together because he didn't think he was going to sit down and watch it. And he's like, I got him hooked on it. But it's interesting when a man can recognize just the sad state of affairs for being, a woman, you know, still in not just in this country, but just in general in the world, you know, because we've had conversations and like, yeah, you can make it as a woman. you just don't understand.
You know, I discovered this week, beautiful couple. We've been knowing each other for about, I don't know, 8 years. Beautiful couple. We've been over at their house. They've been over at our house. And they both
mm-hmm.
are just doing great, involved, you know. This week he has another whole family, a girlfriend, another whole house. He gets off work, he goes over there, does what he needs to do over there, you know, cut the grass, whatever. And then, because he has a job that gets off at 4 o'clock, so by 5:36 he can come on home. And then he comes on home to his wife that I just adore them as a couple. But I said to John, I said, it's amazing that men can take care of two households, financially, mentally, physically, whatever he's doing. I said, but women can't and won't do that. We don't want to cook and clean on a consistent basis for one house. And if we do,
mm-hmm.
it is a job. It is a second job to, you know, while I was cooking dinner yesterday, I said, wow, this, you know, my silverware drawer is so unorganized. I pulled out the tray, cleaned it, and I said, well, you know what, let me go ahead while I'm doing dinner and I'm recording a show, someone's on, I'll fold up these clothes. I said to John, he did absolutely nothing yesterday but wait on lunch and wait on dinner. Absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I won't even
yeah.
tell you when he decided to take a shower. He knew he was starting a huge job today. Maybe I'm giving out too much information. He started a huge project today. He was on time and doing well, but he made sure yesterday that he rest. There is no rest for the one that handles all of the domestic stuff within the house.
Mm-mm.
There isn't.
No. No. I mean, I'm folding clothes while we're talking.
Exactly.
Seriously.
That's the kind of, that's exactly what I was doing when my nose bled incident started. And I'm like, oh, well. But that is exactly what we do. We are the multitaskers. But,
mm-hmm.
And John was actually able to let the information about this wonderful couple go in one ear and out the ear. You know, he gets all of that all the time because people want to talk to him as a minister. But to me, that devastated my whole evening, afternoon.
I know.
You know. Oh, my goodness. And the fact that she has no clue.
Mm.
So I want to ask you, what would you do? Would you wrestle with it and keep it to yourself? Would you have a conversation with her? Or is that something that she has to discover and to handle herself and stay out of it?
Okay, so she, that was going to be one of my questions. Does she know? So I gather
she didn't
from,
know.
Okay.
She didn't know.
She might know after listening. Well, I was going to say after listening to the show if she ever listened to it. But that would be hard, and I would have to do some serious praying on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I mean, what was it? I saw something, and it actually was a repeat on where this person, they were talking about this guy that was buying this gift and stuff. He was buying a gift for his wife, and then turned around and was buying a gift for his girlfriend. And the woman, saleswoman, I don't know if you heard about this, but she was like just not having it. So she, the name, she actually ended up putting the names of the gifts. She switched the names. So
wow.
The wife got the, yes, the wife got the girlfriend's gift, girlfriend got the wife's gift. And there was a discussion on the talk in terms of whether or not this girl was in her right place to do that. I think it was the talk. But anyway, it was, you know, and some were saying, well, it maybe if I had known the person, one of the persons, I would have maybe just talked to them privately or something like that. And then someone else said, you know, well, I wouldn't have done it, but I wasn't mad at her. And then someone else said, well, what I would have done is just taken myself out of the situation and refused to serve him, you know. And I'm probably more leaning toward that. I haven't mad at her either, but at the same time, I don't know if I would have done it. I would have probably taken myself out of the situation and just said, I can't condone that behavior. That is not something that I can condone.
There is no easy answer, Gretchen.
There isn't.
There really isn't. But when you think about whenever she finds out, and as my grandmother says, if it's going on in the well, it's going to come up in the bucket. So eventually, she's going to discover it. I don't know how long it's been going on, and I don't know when she'll find out. But whenever she does, however she finds out.
Do you think she knows? This is the question.
No, there's no way she knows. No, not this strong of a woman in what I, there's no way she knows. Because if she did, she has enough to walk away. Because now some women will find out and decide to stay because they don't have everything they, you know, that they need financially to walk away. And I say that to men
that.
A lot.
It's not just that.
No, it's not just
I've,
that.
I've had
but,
asked. Ask myself that question about what would I do, and I'm not really sure. But my thing is, depending on it, you know, if you are a Christian woman, you know, you're saying to yourself, "Well, I made these vows, and in these vows, this says for better or for worse," and you're having to ask yourself, what would God want me to do? How would God want me to handle the situation?
See, well, that's the same for me. Everything kind of goes back to that.
I would definitely pray and seek it, but for better or for worse, that would be worse, 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 worse. So in that case, God, I can go ahead and remove myself. You know, because in order, this is what I say, and I said to Reverend Robinson, in order to keep up that kind of double life, you have to maneuver and lie about 4 or 5 times a day to your spouse in order mm-hmm. to get over to there and then to come back. There's never a day where you cannot lie. And what about your phone? Now, the other mm-hmm. woman has to know because he's mm-hmm. going home. He ain't sleeping over there.
Yeah. Yeah, and I always wonder, like, how do you allow yourself to get into a situation like that? Because to me, it's like you don't really value yourself if you place yourself in that situation. Because you're allowing
you value what he provides more than you provide. You value the relationship because the relationship is half is not there for sure. And I want you to know that Gretchen, we have gone now 8 minutes till without a break.
Well, you know what? I know that because my thing is you and I never get it in enough time.
Exactly. So the breaks are just fine not having them. But okay, so I want to end because I just had to ask you. I want to end on, and I got to go back to 45. Have you heard him pressuring the Secretary of State?
Oh.
Okay. Last few minutes. Stop right there.
Yes. Wow. That's kind of
wow
all I
is
can
right,
say.
Isn't it?
That's all I can say is wow. And, you know, I guess this is for him, desperate times call for desperate measures. But the thing about it, and then people want to get upset with this guy for releasing the tape. And for those of you that don't know, there's a tape out there about an hour long conversation that the current president had with the Georgia Secretary of State. So it's on the internet. That's all I'm gonna say. And I didn't hear the whole thing. I heard enough. If someone was saying, man, it took something for that person to stay on the phone with him an hour. But you know, I guess that's
kudos to them
for
him having his lawyer there and recording the entire hour. I listened to 5 minutes of it that they had.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is the leader of the free world.
People out there, this is the thing. You got some people that say, okay, this is too much, and you got some people that say, well, he should have done that, or I'm not, you know, there are people that support these antics, and I'm like,
yep.
And this is what I was talking about, people being adults. That's not an adult move. That's not a responsible adult move. That is pure selfishness.
He cut his celebration at Mar-a-Lago. He came back before the New Year's Eve party because he wanted to come back and make sure that things were going the way they should be going. And the Secretary of State said he's called 18 times. He's been trying not to take the call. But finally, he accepted the call with his lawyer. He's reached out. His office has reached out to him 18 different times.
Yeah, because he don't know what to do with himself now.
He's got to go on January 20th.
I told my husband, I said, he accomplished one thing that I know he probably wanted to do. He's got a regular retirement check, no matter what.
Yep.
If nothing else, I'm sure that was the one thing he wanted, is to at least have some financial security, because he wasn't getting it with all of the other stuff he was doing. Yeah.
Wow.
And then the other thing that I had an issue with was when someone renames an airport, isn't it because someone else wants the airport named after you? I mean, he can go and build a private airport and name it after himself.
Is he trying to get an airport named after himself?
Oh, you hadn't heard. Where have you been? Yes, he's trying to get an airport named after himself.
Oh, I will send you that information. I'll text it to you.
Yes, text that to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was last week's news. That was before this stuff. Yeah, he's trying to get an airport named after. He's trying to find out what it takes to get an airport named after him.
All I say is January 20th at 11:59. He has to be out of the White House and gone. I'm looking forward to decency amongst us as people, not just the White House, not just the president. I want us as a country, as people within every sovereign state to think about what you say before you say it. Give out kindness more than you do anything else. And use more honey than vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to.
For sure.
We've got to. And everybody stay
safe.
Stay safe and get the vaccine. Yeah. My doctor
What's the one thing that you want to accomplish for yourself, though, that you want to have happen for yourself by the end of 2021?
A brick-and-mortar radio station building in at least two states, a brick-and-mortar radio station. We're looking now, so we're looking for South Carolina and Florida to have a brick-and-mortar radio station where my hosts can come and do their show live or record their shows or come and record tracks and all of that. So that is the goal for 2021.
Cool. All right.
Yeah. And it doesn't necessarily have to be in Gainesville. Definitely going to be in Columbia. But I really want to get mid-state in Florida to make it where it's no more than a 45-hour minute drive. I have two shows in Orlando, and I'm getting ready to launch two shows in March in Tampa. So I'm sure
we need to talk.
Amen.
Yeah, we definitely need to talk. So, let me know when your calendar's free to have that conversation. Sure.
Awesome. Because I do need to secure your services and see what you can find for me. I need to tap into my resources. So that is 2021 for me. What do you have? Gretchen, we have 2 minutes.
And that's not going to be a conversation. I want to do better. I want to do better. I want to be better. I want to be what God wants me to be. And that's basically, I definitely need my real estate business to increase for sure. But, I want my husband and I to be healthy and happy. I want family and friends to be healthy and happy. So,
All right. Well, that was a show, Gretchen.
It's always evolving.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome.
For 4 years. All right.
Amen.
Take care. God bless.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening. This has been G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. I'm your host, G. Be well, be safe, and please remember, be blessed, and all real power comes from God. Take care.